Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome live on Tribe Family Channel's Men and Women of Honor Radio with guest Alfonso Washington. I am Beverly Black. This show will be moderated by yours truly and a special, very special co-host, Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson Jr., the leader of the Tougaloo Nine, led, trained, and mentored by the late, great Megger Wiley Evers. But before I bring on our guest, let me welcome Dr. Jackson. Good evening, Dr. Jackson. How are you?
Good evening, Ms. Beverly Ann Black. I am fine, and just honored to be a part of this radio show.
It is a privilege to have your presence. It's always an honor to be able to connect with a civil rights icon. And I'm just so honored that you took interest in our guest, in the subject of our guest's book. And so without further ado, we are going to get into the show. So thank you for joining us. First, a little bit about our guest. In his words, I was born in Vicksburg, Mississippi, 1972. One of my earliest memories are of me riding on a cotton sack pulled by my grandmother in a field. I remember the heat. It was so thick and heavy. I remember the scratches I got from the plants. It was like they were angry with the pickers. I remember trying to overcome my fears of getting bitten by one of the mouse-hunting snakes I saw on the ground. Through that unmistakable recollection, I can't help but feel I share that one true experience with Kathy. I also feel the cotton fields of the South are still stained with the blood and sweat of generations of American souls. As time and opportunity would have it, I left the farm and moved to Ohio. I briefly attended university before joining the military during the first Gulf War. I discovered the existence of Kathy while researching the Civil War during my first tour in Afghanistan. From the farming fields to the battlefield, I found an unquenched thirst to learn more about African-American participation in the conflict and the unsung historical figure who is Kathy Williams, live on Tribe Family Channel. Ladies and gentlemen, it is an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to welcome not only a military veteran to whom we owe a great deal of honor for protecting the freedom that we so carelessly take for granted, but we also thank him for digging into history and bringing forth the story of Kathy Williams, the only known documented female Buffalo soldiers. Good evening, Mr. Washington. Welcome to Men and Women of Honor. How are you?
Good evening, Ms. Black. Thank you for having me, and a special thank you, and it is an honor to be in the presence over the phone with Reverend Dr. Joseph Jackson, Jr.
The privilege is ours. The privilege is ours. Being that Mr. Jackson's parents are from Biloxi, Mississippi.
Belzoni.
I'm sorry. My apologies. Belzoni, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. I would like. We read so much history. He has me all over Mississippi. I'm going to tell you, Mr. Washington, get ready. Hold on to your hat.
Oh, yeah.
Dr. Jackson's the roots come from Mississippi, okay? And here you
okay.
have your roots and your remembrances in Mississippi. First, I'd like to hear what Dr. Jackson would like to ask about you and your life, and then we will talk about Kathy Williams. Dr. Jackson, would you be so kind as to impose or compose the first question to Mr. Washington?
Well, I would just like to pay honor and respect to such a brilliant young man that I think he said you were born in 1972, Mr. Washington?
Yes, sir. 1972, November 15th.
Yes. It's an honor because one of the Tougaloo Nine members who really me and the eight other members who staged the first read-in or sit-in in the Whites-Only Library in Jackson, Mississippi on March 27, 1961. And so it's just a pleasure to really know of a young man that is still interested in bringing forth black history regarding his family members. Albert Lassiter, Dr. Albert Lassiter, a member of the Tougaloo Nine, also is a native from Vicksburg, Mississippi. So I just wanted to let you know that that you have someone that really was involved in the civil rights movement with me that was from your city of Vicksburg, Mississippi. And so I'm just interested in, first of all, you said that you were the baby that was on the sack in the cotton field?
Yes, sir. My grandparents were sharecroppers there in Baldwin, Mississippi, with the small town right outside of Yazoo City. And mm-hmm. on that sharecropping farm there, they would pick cotton. And my mother, she was a teenager and getting ready to attend college, she put in, you know, some hands and some back bending in the fields as well, along with her siblings that we were growing up with on the farm there.
Now, I have some documentaries of people in the field. They were sharecroppers, but I saw the baby on this sack being dragged through the field as the mother was picking cotton. How was that connected to the mother? How did that work? Because I never did know really how it was in terms of whether it was around the neck of the mother or what. Could you briefly just explain that part
right.
of what I was witnessing?
So, sure. It was generally slung over the shoulder, and the sack was larger, if you will. It was. I think it came in a couple sizes. Some probably were off the hip, but the ones were larger, where some folks would sling over their shoulder, over their neck, and then drag it behind them, pulling the cotton and pulling the sack as it filled up. I don't remember precisely the dimensions of it, but I do remember, it being brown, of kind of a burlap material. And it was large enough for me to ride on while it was getting full.
Wow. Well, actually, that explains how laboriously It had to have been on the mother, because what she's picking cotton and putting the cotton in a bag, and at the same time bringing her son or daughter on this bag, pulling it. And in the hot sun, that really had to be an experience that, you know, very few people back then who were not sharecroppers had never known.
Right.
In terms of picking cotton, and you know, you've got to pick so much cotton, 250 pounds or so, you know, and then you would weigh the cotton. But that's
right.
At the same time, they've got to attend to the children.
Correct.
Now, how many siblings were in your family?
Sure.
Beg pardon?
My immediate family was myself, my sister, and my foster brother, but I grew up in relatively close in age proximity to my uncles and aunts, who, once they were of able body, they were, you know, in the field as well. So they pulled shifts after school, and they would, you know, be in the field picking cotton themselves as teenagers.
My. Now, how old were you when as an adult, you remembered back during that
mm-hmm.
time? How were you when you were a baby? What was your age?
I can't remember my exact age, but I want to say it was somewhere between, because I was probably out there with my cousin Jerry Williams, who was about a year older than me, and between myself and him, because we lived on the farm with my grandma and grandpa, and his mother was up the pasture, if you will, at another house, somewhere probably between 5 and 6 years old, right before my mom came back from school and met my father, and then, you know, we left the farm at about 7 years old, I believe, about 6 or 7 years old.
Wow. Did you ever have the experience of picking cotton?
I don't want to say that I participated in a contributory way, but I certainly did stick my hand into some of the bundles and pull some cotton out, and I remember the seed that would be inside it would have to be dewoven or whatever it was. You know, I remember the edges of it being brown, and it was very, very sharp and rigid and crusty, and you stick in there, there'd be sectors of it or chambers of the cotton to pull out. And I remember enough to know what it felt like to pull the cotton out of the chambers and then toss them in the bag. Once the bag got too full for me to ride on, I would just pick not as much and efficiently as my grandmother or mom and aunts and uncles, but I do remember pulling
mm-hmm.
some of the cotton out and tucking it in the bag there.
Wow. Beverly?
Yes. You know, Mr. Washington, I just want to say that it's just a real privilege that you would tell your story and be as transparent and truthful about the harshness that our people suffered, because you're not telling your story in the way in which the blood-stained soils of this nation is dispositioned to have. You are telling your story, how you grew up, remembering the scratches from the plant and thinking that they had to be angry at the pickers, because why else would you be getting scratched out here? See a baby mine, and then you see the mouse hunting snakes. You see, you know, you already know that as a baby, your conditions threaten your safety because you're living it. And not only did you serve this country by being the grandchild and child of sharecroppers, so we can fully say that your people built this nation, we can also say that you swore an oath to protect her soil. So you have served this country and you've served her well, and the least she could do is listen to you. So thank you for telling your truth. We're going to delve into Kathy Williams and what you discovered in our history. Unless Dr. Jackson has any more questions about your history.
No, I just want to ask this last question before we really learn more about Kathy Williams. Mr. Washington, what motivated you to choose to bring this history to the knowledge of the public? What was it that you realized had to be told?
Well, what I realized, sir, and that's a very good question, yes, sir, the impact of not knowing about the history that you can relate to is very deep. It spans the distance of an ocean, if you will. When you go to school, even in modern times, and you're not exposed to things that you can relate to on a personal level, on a social level, you tend to think at a disadvantage because you're trying to relate to something that is not natural to you. You're trying to relate to something, to things, to events that other people hold in high regard and in a respectful manner, so that gives them pride and that boosts them to another level, where as you on the outside looking in see these events and see these historical reaccounting, the reaccounting of these historical events,
mm-hmm.
and you try to associate with it, but there's no association to be garnered from reading and trying to understand and trying to regurgitate to even attempt to be on the same level as those who are privileged enough to have that.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Wow. Go on.
You know, that's the same way I feel about Dr. Jackson and the road he takes me down in our sessions of enlightenment from the beginning of our studies to when we started back in 2020, and we went as far as the sixth president of Morehouse, who was also a sharecropper. We've also had Charles Wright, the founder of the Watts 103rd Street Rhythm Band, on our show, and he too was a sharecropper. And so we also have a tender heart for the suffering of our people and the depths of which the inhumane treatment was evoked upon us or inflicted upon us. And I say mm-hmm. us because we're all inside the frame of a black skin, and they're still doing today in a different manner what they were doing back then. It's just different methods, but the oppression and the inhumane treatment remains. So again, thank you so much. It gives a solemn level of energy. It's almost like the ancestors want you to just really ring it out, you know, from shore to shore and just really tell it. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you're just tuning in, we're live on Tri-Family Channels, Men and Women of Honor Radio with guest Alfonso Washington. I am Beverly Black. I'm the creator of Tri-Family Channel, a Gumbo for the Soul international family brand. And this is September, Prostate Cancer Awareness Month for men, the last day of September. So as a reminder, when I say Men and Women of Honor Radio, I am speaking of Gumbo for the Soul Publications. We focus on health and wellness. And so we are honoring Kathy Williams, a woman of honor, as most know, October is known for honoring women. So as we leave September honoring men and coming to October, I would first like to acknowledge that Kathy Williams was born in September, the year of 1842. So Kathy Williams, we honor you. We honor your fight and your bravery. Kathy Williams was born to an enslaved mother and a free father in Independence, Missouri in 1844. During her adolescence, she worked as a house slave on the Johnson Plantation on the outskirts of Jefferson City, Missouri. In 1861, Union forces occupied Jefferson City during the early stages of the Civil War. And we are going to let Mr. Alfonso Washington pick up where I just left off, because he found an unquenched thirst to learn more about African American participation in the conflict and the unsung historical figure who is Kathy Williams. So, Mr. Alfonso Washington, you have the floor. Tell us about She Was a Buffalo Soldier, what inspired you to write it. You can tell us where you began, you know, in your service days and how the manifestation of it all came about, and you definitely have the floor, so take your time.
Okay, sure. Thanks again for having me on here on the broadcast. So the story is broken up into a three-part series, the first of which is published, and it's called She Was a Buffalo Soldier, the story of Kathy Williams, book one. And the second is finished but is unpublished, and that will be the part of Kathy while she's serving in the Army during the Civil War. So the first part of the book picks up where she's born, and it's told from the perspective of a slave. So there's not a lot of dates and historical events outside of what a slave would come in common with or come in contact or knowledge about, right? So when the reader goes into this first of the three-part series, they're going to hear stories as they would be heard from a slave's perspective. And the inspiration behind this is because when I was in Afghanistan serving with a company as a contractor for an entity for the government, I was curious because I was watching the PBS series about the Civil War. It was that long series of the brothers. And they talked about all the historical events, all the dates, all the generals, all of the North Side things, the things that caused it, the things that, you know, led up to it, and everything that went on in between all the way through the end. And I had a curiosity, aside from the blurb that I don't quite remember, you know, what did the African-Americans do during that time? What did the freed slaves do to contribute to their freedom, the fight for their freedom? So I got curious, and I looked up books. And being that I was born in November myself, I looked up events that occurred in November. And I saw that November 15th was the date that is on the enlistment paperwork for William Cathy, which is the AKA that Kathy Williams went by. She disguised herself as Kathy. So I'm like, well, who is this person? And I looked up, you know, as much as I could via internet search, and I saw one book about Kathy Williams, and it was, I can't remember the name of the author, but I read the previous, or the preview of it, and then I read some reviews of it, and it turns out that the book had some events about Kathy, but it wasn't truly a story about her perspective and her experience as it was, you know, so it was like a, you know, just a factual thing, like, you know, she was here, she went to the Battle of Pea Ridge, she was a witness of the Red River Battle, and so on and so forth, and she enlisted herself a male, and then she found herself in Trinidad, Colorado, in the end, where she was discharged after she was discovered to be a female. So I said, well, I feel like this story needs to be told at a greater depth, and not only told at a greater depth, but perhaps from the experience and from a perspective of an African-American person himself, right? Because most of the – there's not a lot of books out there that are jointly written with an African-American perspective by an African-American, especially when you're looking for heroes that are not on the, you know, the plane, if you will, that has been fed to us. You know, we have our Rosa Parks. We have our Harriet Tubmans. We have our, you know, Daniel Webster, you know, all the folks who were given to us through our historical books who were written from perspective and so on and so forth. But we don't know some of the underlying heroes, some of the underlying personalities, the people who were the foundation, who perhaps were the mother, was the father of some of these great individuals, who witnessed some of the things that these great individuals done. You know, case in point, you know, Dr. Jackson there, coming from a historical background, having the strength and the courage to stand up in part of the most oppressive portion of our nation and having the backbone and, again, the courage and fortitude to just stick himself in front of not only a hostile environment, but something that was socially unacceptable. So yes, those types of stories that are not on the you know, being broadcast, being having movies made of them, those are the ones that we need to know about so we can associate ourselves with. And the other inspiration behind it all was, you know, I have two daughters, Jennifer Mariah Washington and Alana Washington. Alana is serving in the Air Force right now, actually.
Wow.
I thought back to them, and yes, ma'am. And I thought back to them. I said, you know, they need heroes. You know, they need inspiration. They need someone to whom they can look up to. And I'm for sure positive that they had no idea that Kathy ever existed. You know, before I rediscovered her, if you will, and I'm doing my best to bring her story into light and into focus. Yes, ma'am.
Wow. Before her voluntary enlistment at just 17 years old, Williams served as an Army cook and a washerwoman. In this role, she accompanied the infantry all over the country. Williams served under the service of General Philip Sheridan and witnessed the Red River Campaign and the Battle of Pea Ridge. Despite the prohibition against women serving in the military, Williams enlisted in the U.S. Regular Army under the false name of William Cathay on November 15, 1866. She enlisted for a 3-year engagement, passing herself off as a man. Williams was assigned to the 38th U.S. Infantry Regiment after she passed the cursory medical examination. Though this exam should have outed her as a woman, the Army did not require full medical exams at this time. Shortly after her enlistment, she contracted smallpox and was hospitalized. Williams rejoined her unit in New Mexico. There, possibly due to the effects of smallpox, the heat, or the years of marching, her body began to show signs of strain. Due to her frequent hospitalization, the post-surgeon finally discovered she was a woman and informed the post-commander. Now, I'm not going to give away anything because you are going to have to get the book, and it is exciting. She was a Buffalo soldier. Now, how did she make out? One can only know. But we're going to swing back over to Dr. Jackson. Dr. Jackson, do you have any questions for Mr. Washington?
Yes, I want to thank you, Mr. Washington, for this discovery, and it just shows how rich of a history that we have as Black people, because I never knew of this lady. I only have seen movies and documentaries about the Buffalo Soldiers. And until today, Mr. Washington, you have really inspired me to do more research about the history of our people, because until today, I only thought the Buffalo Soldiers were men, because that's the way that the history during the Civil War portrayed the Buffalo Soldiers as men, and not until today, now, from your book and from your really being curious as to what happened on November the 15th, now this has added to my knowledge when it comes to the Buffalo Soldiers, knowing that they were not all men. If nothing else, there was the Buffalo lady known as Kathy Williams. So I want to thank you for that discovery.
Certainly. You're quite welcome. Thank you, sir.
And you're right. Now, why did you say that? How is it that you came up on this history about this important Buffalo woman? Because you mentioned November 15th. I'm trying to figure out what took place in your being curious to discover this.
Right. So I was born November 15th, 1972. And
okay,
just in from a curious perspective, I was like, yeah, you know, what significant events occurred on my birthday throughout the years? And that was one significant event.
Wow.
Because the epic documentary, The Civil War, that was produced by the famous documentarian Ken Burns.
Right.
You mentioned the PBS station. Yes. Right. And that has really put him on the map. And I watched some of it, but by me watching it, I never... Well, you know, it's. I'm sorry that my birthday wasn't on November 15th. You know, but watching that Civil War, I wouldn't have given even my own birthday any thought about doing the research that you did. So that's unusual within itself, Mr. Washington.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, my daytime profession is I'm a system administrator. I'm the lead system administrator for Isla Luxottica subdivision IMED out of Cincinnati, Ohio. So I lead a team of architects and engineers who keep the IT element running for the IMED group.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I have, on a daily basis, all day long, I'm constantly researching. That's part of our profession is to be able to locate information and research it and apply it. So being that I've been doing that for nearly 20 years as a profession, I'm used to digging in and researching and finding elements and linking elements and just applying them as I find them.
Now, but you said November the 15th. I mean, I'm trying to connect the dots from you having watched that PBS documentary,
right,
The Civil War, to mm-hmm. November the 15th. You was wondering what actually was taking place on November the 15th, 1860?
No, not quite.
Right.
So November 15th, dialed into the search engine. I just looked for people who were born then, specific events.
Okay.
On that date, mm-hmm. November 15th. So as you're drilling mm-hmm. back and getting deeper, you'll see like, oh, okay, this you have in common with someone on your birthday. Like there's an author who was born on November 15th. There's a movie star who was born on November 15th. There's a musician. There was a significant event. Maybe there was a significant mm-hmm. battle that may have occurred on your birthday. So all those things have snowballed into, you know, my greatest discovery at this point, which was Kathy Williams, a.k.a. William Cathay. So, yeah.
Wow. So when you learned, I mean, when you learned that, hey, this history occurred on your birthday, and not only was it history that was not widely known, but also it's from a military perspective that was unheard of, and here you are in the military, and now things have changed because now you are your counterparts are women in the military. So how did you look at the strength of coming through the ages when you look at from Kathy Williams' life, because she broke the mold, and then you bring that history through the ages to the day that you discovered her, and you're looking around yourself at the difference found on your perspective from just opposed to that.
Okay, sure. Now let me tell you, Kathy is without a doubt one of the toughest cookies that ever came out the oven, right? Not only did she survive slavery, only did she survive the American Civil War, but then she turned around and put herself back into harm's way as a man for the American Indian Wars that were fought out west to, you know, close out the manifest destiny that was embedded in and indoctrinated in the mindset of America at that time to push the Native Americans off their land and decimate them and all but exterminate them on the way to connecting the East Coast to the West Coast. Right, so not only is she the tough cookie, I will tell you a story. When I was enlisted in the military and I was stationed in Japan, I had an opportunity to work with some special groups, if you will, And on an occasion, I got to travel down to Kadena Air Force Base and joined up with the Marines that were up there in Okinawa. Now, being that I was in the Air Force, there was always competition between, you know, services, right, sister services. And one of the competitions that I happened to be involved with was the Air Force Marines, and we had to do the Air Force obstacle course, and then we did the Air Force, or the, not the Air Force, Marine Corps obstacle course, and then the Marine Corps PT test. And part of the Marine Corps PT test was a run, right? So we had to do sit-ups and pull-ups, and then we did, I think it was a three-mile run, right? Now, I was in pretty good shape. I'd played a little bit of college football, and I had been running and training with these operatives that were enlisted at the time. And I will tell you, while I was running that 3 mile, I was clocking in as best as I could, probably doing a seven and a half minute mile. Off in the distance, a good 300-400 yards was a female Marine, and she was booking. I mean, her hair was flowing in the wind, and she was just tearing it up. And I could not catch that lady. And I'm telling you, I was digging in for those 3 miles, and she crossed that finish line before me. And that puts me in mind the time that Kathy was traveling on foot, mostly, you know, across America with symptoms, if you think about it, with symptoms of diabetes and smallpox. On foot, this woman traveled all the way from Missouri to Washington, D.C., back across from Washington, D.C., through Missouri, through Texas, and on into New Mexico and Colorado. Now that, like I said, tough cookie out the oven.
Yes,
should be an inspiration
yes, yes,
for everybody.
Yes. Wow. Well, ladies and gentlemen.
So she would be categorized, Mr. Washington, really as an unsung hero.
Oh, for sure, certainly.
That's the modern term that they use when they finally discover, you know, people of that have contributed to this country, but yet were not publicized, like, you know, Rosa Parks, Harriet Tubman. But this is an example to cause you to wonder how many more unsung heroes in various parts of American history that they played that we don't know about.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the perfect segue to this discovery. Around 1889 or 1890, Williams entered a local hospital and applied for a disability pension based on her military service. Though there was a precedent for granting pension to female soldiers, Deborah Sampson, Anna Marie Lane, and Molly Williams disguised themselves as men in the Revolutionary War. Williams's request was denied. In September 1893, a doctor examined Williams. She suffered from neuralgia and diabetes and had all her toes amputated and walked with a crutch. The doctor decided that she did not qualify for disability payments. The exact date of her death is unknown, but it is believed she died shortly after she was denied. What makes Kathy Williams an American hero? Though over 400 women served in the Civil War posing as male soldiers, Williams was the first African American woman to enlist and the only documented woman to serve in the United States Army while disguised as a man during the Indian Wars. Williams is also the only known female Buffalo soldier. Williams' determination to serve her country demonstrates the extraordinary feats women have accomplished simply trying to live their lives. September 1843 is when Kathy Williams' life began. We honor you at this pre-dawning of October, which is a month that recognizes breast cancer. It is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And so as a publisher of Gumbo for the Soul, focusing on health and wellness, I would like to take the time to honor Kathy Williams. And I would like to employ our listeners to pick up this phenomenal work by Mr. Alfonso Washington. She was a Buffalo soldier. Gentlemen, we only have a short period of time left, and I would like to have the honor and privilege of hearing the final gems dropping on this show to be cast by the two of you. So, Dr. Jackson, will you do us the honors to extrapolate any further information from Mr. Alfonso Washington before we say goodnight?
Yes, Mr. Alfonso Washington, I never, ever would have acquired knowledge of knowing that the Buffalo woman known as Kathy Williams would have ever existed, let alone being a black woman. And as I said before, I am very, very honored to have chosen to appear on this program because you obviously was chosen by God to become curious in terms of your birthday, November the 15th. And you really are the only young black man that did the research, that thought enough of the importance of the contribution in the Civil War of Kathy Williams. So I just thank you for this knowledge because I had no idea that a woman had really contributed anything to being a Buffalo soldier. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead and respond.
Oh, I was going to thank you as well, Reverend Dr. Jackson, for your courage. And the honor is truly mine to be speaking to a historical figure such as yourself and the other eight. I hope it sounds like I will do some research on you guys. So it sounds like there may be another calling for me at some point in time. I'm not a full-time author right now, but should time and opportunity come, I certainly would seek out to make sure your story is also put into the light.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I have one final question before you let our listeners know where they can pick up your book, your website, your email address, and any other information you may want them to have, your social media profiles and what have you. In your bio, it says that you left the farm and moved to Ohio. So What was that like for you? How old were you when you moved to Ohio, in case I missed it in the interview? Because I want to know, what was the change like for you? I mean, come on now, you're coming from the South. You're a you know, you going up north, a Mississippi cotton picker. I'm saying that with not with degradation, but I'm saying that in terms of perception in that period of time. Here you're moving up north, and how were our Southerners treated? What did that feel like to you to have that history?
Oh man, that is a story for sure. And I will tell you that.
Well, that's another book.
Yes. So growing up and living in the South, you know, as you know, oftentimes you only had daytime hours to associate with white people, right? When the sun went down, that association would dissolve. So
sundown town.
To north, yes, ma'am. Coming up north, you know, I had it embedded to not make eye contact with white people and not speak directly to them, right? So my father was in the military. He was in the Air Force, and we were stationed at Wright Air Force Base. And my school on north of the Mason-Dixon line, if you will, was an experience. I got called the exact name to which, you know, folks are, you know, termed, and I got hit upside the head with a hunk of asphalt by a young white boy. And I did not know what I was supposed to do, so I just bowed my head and I went home. And I told that story to my cousins who were from Chicago. They said, you don't live like that up here. So there was a different perspective. There was a culture shock. And yes, there's a lot of stories to compare coming from the South and moving to the North. I don't think we have time right now to go into all of them.
See, because your cousins, they would have beat the brakes off of them, see? But that's another story in another book. Dr. Jackson, you know, he down our road when it comes to black history. So Dr. Jackson over there chuckling because he can only imagine, you know, the reflexes and the utter shock, you know. And sometimes we're reading and we have to laugh to keep from crying because our people were done in such a way. And so I just wanted to know how it was. It's sort of like a reverse socialization in as far as you going from the South to the North. But your expectancy was that black double consciousness. See?
Right.
You expected to shuffle.
We definitely would have to have Mr. Alfonso Washington to return back as a guest to share his experience in the state of Ohio, which is known as a northern, is that Midwest system, a city?
Yes, sir. It is considered Midwest. It's the beginning of the Midwest.
Yeah, so we're going to have to book him again. I'd like to hear more about that.
Yeah, I would like to well. So we're going to have you come on our show called A Black State of Mind, and that is created by Jackson and Black. And it has been an honor, a privilege, and a pleasure to just listen to these gems from two I want to say civil rights men, because you came up through the civil rights era, Mr. Alfonso Washington. You are a product of the civil rights era. And I would like to thank you and Dr. Jackson again for this opportunity. Now, before we head out of here, where can people find your book and get in touch with you if they'd like to have you on their program?
Yes, ma'am. You can go to my website. It is originaloutput.com. And the book, She Was a Buffalo Soldier, is linked on there back to Amazon Publishing. If you would like to send me an email, do so at originaloutput.com and intention to Alfonso Washington. And they'll get you in contact directly through that Gmail address. And I would be happy to respond to any inquiries or any appearances on the radio, have you, and even send out a signed copy of the book, if you will.
Awesome, awesome. Very much appreciated, very much appreciated. And again, we salute you and your service to this country and the military and to that of your daughter and your father. As we can hear, you are in a military family. So again, thank you for your service and all that you and your family have afforded us by way of the freedom that we so carelessly take for granted. So ladies and gentlemen, this concludes Men and Women of Honor Radio with guest Alfonso Washington. And as you heard, this brother was pulled alongside the cotton rows, sharecropping with his grandmothers and parents in the fields. This is no joke. You're talking about some critical race theory. Don't try to hide our history, because we're going to bring it loud and real clear. This is Beverly Black, and we are signing off on Tribe Family Channel. I want to thank our listeners, our sponsors. We are a Gumbo for the Soul International family brand. We're located at GumboForTheSoulInternational.com. Thank you for all your service, and this goes out to the two of you, gentlemen. You are truly men of honor.
Thank you.
You're welcome. God bless.
Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Thank you, sir.
I believe the children are our future. Teach them well and let them lead the way. Show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride to make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. Everybody's searching for a hero. People need someone to look up to. I never found anyone who fulfilled my need. A lonely place to be. So I learned to depend on me. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll live as a belief. No matter what they take from me, they can't take away my dignity. Because of grace, love of all, what's happening to me. show them all the beauty they possess inside. Give them a sense of pride, you make it easier. Let the children's laughter remind us how we used to be. I decided long ago never to walk in anyone's shadow. If I fail, if I succeed, at least I'll
always been a great admirer of your ability as a poet. Have you had to work hard at it, or is it just sheer genius?
It comes to me. It comes to me naturally. And I do it mainly because of my fights, little simple rhymes. I just wrote a poem the other day entitled Truth. It says, "The face of truth is open. The eyes of truth are bright. The lips of truth are ever closed. The head of truth is upright. The breast of truth stands forward. The gaze of truth is straight. Truth has neither fear nor doubt. Truth has patience to wait. The words of truth are touching. The voice of truth is deep. The law of truth is simple. All you sow, you reap. The soul of truth is flaming, the heart of truth is warm, the mind of truth is clear and firm through rain and storm. Facts are only its shadow. Truth stands above all sin. Great be the battle of life. Truth in the end shall win. The image of truth is the cross. Wisdom's message is its rod. The sign of truth is Christ, and the soul of truth is God. Life of truth is eternal. Immortal is its past. Power of truth shall endure. Truth shall hold to the last." That's a masterpiece.
Now, did you...
Tri-Family Channel. Tri-Family Channel.